Amen. Let's give that to the Lord right now. Jesus, we love you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity, God, to be, Lord, in your presence, God, and to be, Lord Jesus, not only in communion with you, but with one another tonight. Lord Jesus, we ask that you bless this service, God, everything you've got planned, in Jesus' name. Amen. So good to be with you here in Springfield, Missouri, however you say that. Amen. And we're just coming. I guess everyone that comes this way probably does come via Branson, either before or after. And so we did the before. Amen. And we saw Samson last night, the drama up there. We really enjoyed it. Our son really enjoyed that, especially when everything came tumbling down at the end. And he was kind of like, you know, and so we got a kick out of that. But we thoroughly enjoyed that, and we are very blessed to be here with your pastor and family, as he's already alluded to. A big group. It is the largest still, actually, 99 people. Not that we're caring about a record, but it was actually on that trip, the AYC trip, that Brother Matt Johnson and Brother Enzi were speaking to me about the size of the trips, if they needed to be more than 50 people. And I said, well, we're not having any problems accommodating everybody. We just split the groups in half and had half of them go down south to the south of Ireland. The other half stayed up north. And then the next week, we just flip-flopped them. And I remember Brother Johnson said, oh, no. He's like, you guys are doing very well. He said, but do you think we need to have a trip this big? And I said, not for the vision that you guys have. Is having more AYC trips every year. I think 50 is more than enough. And so they went from that year, nine AYC trips in 2015, sorry. And the next year they expanded to 16 trips, AYC trips, just because they have a 50 individual cap limit on it now. So that's pretty powerful when you think about apostolic young people being all over the world. And I think they've even got more trips than that now. So we've got AYC coming back in 2021 again. I've already nailed that one down. Give us some time to get back from deputation and get things in order, but we're looking forward to it again. So if you're interested in AYC or AIM, we accommodated 18 AIMers this past term, which is quite a few. We're actually going to be one of the speakers at Global Connections next week in St. Louis. So if you are interested in short-term or long-term missions, please stop by the table, see us. If you have a chance to get to Global Connections next week, I highly recommend that you do that. If you've already maybe taken a missions trip or been involved with AIM or anything like that, that is a great place to help you find out maybe the will of God to help you know to take the next step. And so I'll throw that in there. And we've got some literature and things out there that help you with that. Also, I'm going to just bring my wife up here. She'll come up here very quickly. When we left, we had a coordinated prayer effort for the city of Cork, which is in Southern Ireland. We're way up in the north in Belfast. We've got some cards out there. It's a map of the island. It has us on it with all the other ministers on it. And it's so that you can see kind of what's already happening in Ireland. And also there's prayer points on the back of it to help pray very specifically for where we're at right now in Ireland, because we are not just here promoting ourselves. We're promoting the entire work in Ireland. So we have 6 churches there now and a few other. There's a lot going on. So we would love for you to be connected, as your pastor's already alluded to. But we had a follow-up gospel concert a few weeks ago that went very well. Brothers Tim Sullivan from Arkansas, if you were there to help with that. And there's follow-up going on in the city of Cork for a new preaching point there. We also have an All-Ireland Youth Weekend this weekend coming up. There, it's going to be down in Dublin, also in the city of Dundalk, which is right on the north-south border. And I just want to ask just for one moment if you'd help pray for that. And then also for our interim pastor and family, Jeremy Fletcher. That's what you're going to do? I'm going to let my wife lead that then, because that's what she wanted to do. Amen. But we want to pray for, we're about to lose one of our AIMers. He's been with us the past year. We had him stay on a little bit longer so that he could help our interim pastor and family come in and help them get settled, their family of 5. but he's about to leave on the 22nd of October. And the Jeremy Fletcher family, they're actually out of Brother Matt Tuttle's church. They're over there for at least the year helping out. And I just want us to just take a moment. My wife's going to lead this to help pray for that in this Ireland, All Ireland Youth Weekend, because it's a very important one. Even though we're out of pocket at the moment, things, as your pastor's already said, are still happening there. Amen. And so we do want to get back, but we have to get everything we need before we get back. It's not just a matter of having living expenses, which a PIM is, but we need projects and things. We have Belfast Pentecost Conference every year that averages about $6,000 to $8,000, because the British pound is worth a lot more than the American dollar. We do that. We've done that for 4 years. That was the first year when Pastor McCoy was with us, but we've done that 3 years after that. We've had just under 100 people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost during this time. There, it's unprecedented. It never happened. But we want to continue that this year, even while we're away, along with a building fund. We're about to go through Brexit, as some of you may be aware of. And that means the UK is leaving the European Union. And that means that the sterling pound is probably going to go way, way down in value. And that's a great time to purchase something. So while we're on deputation, so we don't have to wait another 5 years, we'd like to raise those funds to be able to do that and move forward in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have my wife lead us in prayer. And if you just stand very quickly, just before we move on in the service, we just want to pray very focused for this. Amen.
Amen. As we are here, my husband mentioned our theme, this deputation, is Ireland Together. And it's not only the ministers there that want to work together, but on deputation, our aim is to raise an army of prayer warriors. Because without you, we can't do it. We're there on the front line. We're starting works. And it can't happen outside of the backing of prayer warriors. And that I'm so glad. I think it's in the Holy Ghost that we take some time to prayer tonight, because we never tell each other what we're going to do, or sometimes I testify, sometimes I just share something that's on my heart. But tonight I just felt to pray for this event this weekend and for our interim pastor. They've just been there under 1 month. And if you can imagine yourself moving your whole family, they sold their house, they sold everything that they had to go there and do the work while we're here on deputation. So if we can hold them up in prayer, it's Jeremy and Hannah Fletcher and their three children. And let's pray for this youth weekend also that's happening in Dublin. Can someone help us tonight? Can someone feel a burden tonight for work that need Jesus, for a country that need Jesus and that need revival and that need more works than six churches for 7 million people? We need an army of prayer warriors that are going to lift up their voices to heaven for souls that need to be saved. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you tonight because you're in this place. Thank you, Jesus, because you're the master, the maker. You reign in majesty and glory, Jesus. And we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we believe in the power of prayer, oh Lord Jesus. We believe you know our thoughts before we even utter them, oh Lord Jesus. But we want to lift our voices for our brothers and sisters, oh Lord Jesus, tonight. Despite the distance, oh Lord, you're the same. You're the same in Ireland right now, oh God. As they're sleeping, even at this time, oh God, I pray for your peace to come and surround them, oh Lord Jesus. I pray for your angels to come and be around them. Bless Brother Fletcher and Sister Fletcher and their family, oh Lord. Bless Dylan, oh Lord Jesus, the aimer who's there assisting, oh God. Jesus, I pray for all the ministers from north and south, Lord, east and west, oh God. As they're going to get together this weekend, oh Lord Jesus, that your spirit will come down, oh Lord. Pour out your spirit on all flesh, oh Lord. Jesus, let the youth be on fire for you, oh Lord, so that they can blaze this country, Jesus, for your name's sake, oh God. Can we call on the name of Jesus? Jesus, we need you, Lord. Jesus, we need your help, oh God. Lord, we need your anointing, Lord Jesus. Can you speak in tongue and intercede for the country? thank you, Jesus, for breakthroughs, oh Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love your name, oh Lord Jesus.
Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Come on, just thank him for what he's doing right now. There's 6 hours ahead right now in Ireland. Amen. Just praying that they feel the peace of God. Amen. And have a great night's rest tonight. Thank him for what he's about to do. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you so much for helping us pray. We greatly appreciate it. My son's not up here. Amen. But I want to get in. I want to show you a little video. We do have some display items that are out on the table out there. We use these. All these items are from directly from Ireland. And the sale of them goes directly into our project. So if you want to take a little piece of Ireland home with you tonight and also help out a good cause, we greatly appreciate it. My wife always reminds me, Terry, when we are modern-day missionaries, we do take credit cards. Amen? So if you're here without cash and a check, we can still accommodate you. Amen? And it was good to meet retired missionaries. I'm trying to see where they're at here tonight, to Ecuador. There we go. So glad to meet them. I told him, I said, you know what? Missionaries and ministers never retire. So I'm so glad he came over and introduced themselves to us. Amen. And you're blessed to have missionaries. Amen. Right here in your church. What a blessing that is. I'm going to go ahead and we'll show you this video. I will give you a heads up. You might recognize maybe one, or maybe more than that in there. Definitely one person in there. So just keep an eye out. And we'll be right back with you in just a couple moments. Amen. As a first-generation apostolic converted in my mid-20s, God called me to Bible college after being in church for only 1 year. During my first semester at IBC, God called me to overseas ministry. I landed on the shores of Ireland 7 months after graduation, and I've been in missions for 16 years now, and my family and I are still responding to his lead. The Belfast Pentecost Conference was birthed in my spirit quickly after arriving because of the lack of spiritual understanding and acceptance of the moving of the Holy Spirit. The Ireland 1859 revival took place before the Welsh revival and Azusa Street, and Ireland used to be one of the main countries sending missionaries around the world. Today it's spiritually barren, and men and women of God are being sent to it. I'm apostolic and a missionary today because of a Holy Spirit baptism and fire encounter that took place at an altar. Where some denominations are removing their altars, we're creating an altar of fire and seeing it impact this great city.
We have the privilege of serving in an English-speaking country, even if you wonder sometimes because of the strong accent. Jalen is going to public school and has made many friends. Still, it is somewhat challenging as not everyone understands our lifestyle. One other challenge is the limited fellowship with other apostolic children. As pioneering missionaries and church planters, there are not always other kids around, and an MK can feel isolated.
Well, this term we were blessed to have 18 AIMers, host 2 AYC groups, and the Next Step program. These individuals come full of faith and have created great momentum for the Ireland churches, teaching home Bible studies, being involved in a variety of church ministries, community impact, and cultivating relationships for greater influence. We will host AYC again in 2021, and we're recruiting AIMers during this deputation. See us at our display table if interested. We work hand in hand with pastors to help facilitate individuals into the harvest. Some remain, others return to the U.S., but all engage in ministry, leave with a burden, and are forever changed. Initial walls are with yourself. You have to unlearn American culture and church culture. I really began to dig in, pray, and study what truly was Bible culture and how that relates to whatever field I find myself on. After doing that, we found we became more effective. If you had a choice to do it all over again, would you? Absolutely. If I didn't, I wouldn't have a French wife or son who was born in London, England. He's 10 years old, has been to 24 U.S. states, 23 countries, and fluently speaks English, French, and has a Northern Irish accent. There's nothing like being in the perfect will of God for your life. Your personal vision is limited, but God's vision is limitless. When you step into His will, get ready for the ride of your life.
Amen. Does your pastor still look the same as he did in that video? He looks the same to me. I think he's slimmer, actually, right now. I was like, wow. I told him, you're looking good. Amen. Amen. If you want to stand with me tonight, I'm going to share a little word with you. Hebrews chapter 1, or chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You can say amen when you get there. We'll give you a word and maybe share a couple testimonies tonight, too. Amen. How many are excited about what's going on in Ireland? We've still got a lot of work to do, but there's a lot happening there now, and we are very excited. We just found out we had targeted the city in Cork, as I said, before we left, and then had a follow-up gospel concert there, and I just found out that there's about to be some WPF apostolic missionaries that are going to go to Cork, and I know the wife. She used to be a daughter of the Potter family that used to be ALJ missionaries there when I was on AIM in the early 2000s. So it's pretty amazing how God works. And so we have one of our other missionaries that's there in Waterford. He is an ALJC missionary on this side of the pond for financial reasons. But on that side of the pond, he's becoming part of the UPC of GB&I, or Great Britain and Ireland. And we are working together, amen, to take an island, as my wife said, Ireland together, Ireland strong, amen. Hebrews 11, verse 1, let's read this very familiar portion of Scripture. Says, now faith, everyone say faith, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to minister to you for the next few moments on a simple little thought, faith in the miraculous, faith in the miraculous. Why don't you put your Bibles down? We're just going to ask God to bless this remainder of time together. Lord, we love you. We give you glory and honor and praise, Lord Jesus. Lord, you know exactly where your people are, God, here tonight, Lord Jesus. And we pray, God, that, Lord, you'd give us ears to hear what you have to say, hearts to receive it, God, just a mind of clarity, God. Anoint, Lord Jesus, I pray my lips, Lord, with your word, God. Anoint, Lord Jesus, every individual in this place, almighty God. We pray you bring forth refreshing, bring forth your peace, bring forth, God, breakthrough for those that need breakthrough, God. Bring forth, Lord Jesus, strength for those that need strength, God. And, Lord, release your miracle-working power in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth in this place. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise again very quickly. Hallelujah. Before you're seated, or as you're being seated, why don't you turn to the person on the right side of you, ask them, say, do you have faith for the miraculous? Do the same with the person on the left side of you. Ask them the question. Tell them both, say, I do. Tell them, say, I got faith. Amen. Tonight. Amen. And if you don't, it's a good thing that I'm sitting next to you. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I mean, you know, the definition of a miracle is something that is unexpected, unusual, or wonderful. And it is an event in the external world that is brought about by the immediate agency or the simple will of God, operating without the use of means capable of being discerned by the senses. It's an occurrence that's above nature, and it's above man, and it shows the intervention of a power that's not limited by laws, either matter or of the mind. Amen? It's a power that interrupts the natural fixed laws which govern their movements. It's a supernatural power above anything of this world. I mean, the suspension of the will, the laws of nature involved in miracles is nothing more than what is constantly taking place all around us. Amen. One force counteracts another force. Vital force keeps the chemical laws of matter in abeyance. And muscular force can control the action of physical force. So, for example, In weightlifting, when a man raises a weight from the ground, the law of gravity is neither suspended or violated. Gravity is still in effect. It's just counteracted by a stronger force. Amen. And the same was true in the Word of God when Christ walked on the water, and also when the iron swam at the command of the prophet Elisha. The simple truth is that the universe is not just under the exclusive control of physical forces, but everywhere and always there is above and separate from and superior to everything else an infinite personal will, not superseding things, but directing and controlling all physical causes and either acting with them or without them. Most of the time, God affects his purpose through the agency of second causes. That's things that happen over a period of time. Amen. So, for example, if you've been diagnosed with something, you get prayed for, and you don't feel maybe anything happen at that moment, but that prayer has turned your infirmity around, and within 2 or 3 months, you're not dealing with that problem anymore. You were healed. Amen. Just in the agency of a secondary cause. It was over a period of time, but your situation was turned around completely the first day that you had prayer for that problem. Amen. It was a miracle. But God also has the power of affecting his purpose immediately and without the intervention of secondary causes. And this is an immediate invasion of the fixed order of things and thus working miracles. And God can do it however that he chooses to do it. He can do it right now. He can do it tomorrow. He can do it next week or a couple months from now. And what matters is not the when, but that the miracle takes place. And what precedes this and is of most importance so that the miraculous can happen is that our faith is in place and that we're filled with constant expectation always that Jesus might invade the fixed order of things in our lives and display, amen, himself to this world. Amen. If you've ever received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, then you've received a miracle. Amen. Where God stepped into the fixed natural order of things in that atmosphere of faith, amen, that you found yourself in, whether it was at an altar, whether it was in your car, whether it was at home or somewhere else, he stepped into that everyday natural location and he baptized you with his Holy Spirit and his holy fire. And he gave you a supernatural rebirth into an eternal world. Amen. Born again of the water, born again of the Spirit. Amen. A miracle. Amen. If anyone's ever received that miracle of the Holy Ghost, why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now? If you've ever received healing in your body, been healed of cancer, been healed of diabetes, healed of heart disease, healed from stroke, healed of a respiratory or lung infection, healed of COPD, healed of HIV, healed of viral disease, healed of tuberculosis, healed of demon possession, these are just some of the top 10 causes of death physically within the world. If you've ever been healed of confusion and torment, healed of blindness, both physically, naturally, spiritually. Amen. Healed of depression. Healed of unbelief. Healed of pride and contempt. Amen. Healed of greed and envy. Healed of hatred and murder. Healed of perversion and lust. Healed of lethargy and laziness. Then you've received a miracle. Amen. It's a miracle. I mean, you know, when I was first on AIM back in the early 2000s, we had an older lady named Dorothy that came into our church. She was 60 years of age. She came from different denominational background, church backgrounds, and God filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost at age 60. Amen. Also, she was baptized. But not only did he do that, but she had suffered for 25 years from severe arthritis, and God healed her completely of her arthritis. And Dorothy was, a while later, months and months later, she was having one of those kind of mully grub days, kind of down in the dumps days, and she was at home. And After a while, she figured that she would just get up and she'd go out, maybe take a walk for a little bit, help things maybe make her feel better. And she went down. It was kind of lightly raining in Ireland like it does all the time. Amen. So we welcome this cool weather too. It's about averages probably between 50 and low 70s year round there. And so we're used to the cool. This is our kind of weather. Amen. But she was out and walking. She went down to one of the local corners or the corner of the street, Banbridge, that she lives in, right at a stoplight waiting for it to turn green. And another older lady came up beside her and was rubbing her hands kind of like this and was complaining about her arthritis. She's like, oh, my arthritis, it's acting up today so bad. It's hurting so bad. It's hurting so bad. And she was kind of looked up at Dorothy to see, you know, if she could have someone join her pity party with her, so to say. And she couldn't get Dorothy's attention. Dorothy was just in la-la land still. And finally, she was like, Dorothy, didn't you used to have arthritis? Or don't you have arthritis? And Dorothy, she got her attention. She looked at her, and then she thought about it for a couple seconds. She's like, you know what? I did used to have arthritis, but you know what? God healed me at my church. And she said, you know what? If you came to my church, maybe God would heal you too. And you know, sometimes God has to get a hold of us and remind us of the great things that he already has done for us. Amen. So that not only he can put us and keep us in a place of faith, but so that he can put himself on display for others so that they can receive a miracle also. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. A miracle. You know, in the New Testament, there's four Greek words that are principally used to designate miracles. The first word is the word sign. Everyone say sign. And this word is Simeon, however you want to pronounce that. And it literally means the evidence of a divine commission, an attestation of a divine message, a token of the presence and working of God, the seal of a higher power. This word is used in different portions of Scripture. It's used in John chapter 2, verse 11, when Jesus turned the water into wine. It says, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. It's also used in the same chapter in verse 18, where it says, so the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? And then verse 23, same chapter, says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. Amen. So whenever we see that word signs, we know that it means miracles in the word. The second word for miracles in the word of God is the word wonders. Everyone say wonders. And this word in Greek is terata, and it means wonder-causing agents, something that produces astonishment in the observer. And in the scripture, Acts chapter 2, verse 19, it uses this word. It says, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Also in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And then the third word in the scripture that refers to miracles is the word mighty works. Everyone say mighty works. And this word is a word for some of us that have been in church for a little while. It's familiar. It's the word dunamis. Amen. And we use it a lot for Holy Ghost dynamite when we're talking about the Holy Ghost. And it literally means works of superhuman power of a new and higher power. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, it says, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Also in Romans 15, 19, it says, and mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And then the fourth word for miracles in the Word of God is the word works. Everyone say works. And this word in Greek is ergon. It means the works of him who was wonderful in working. Amen. I like that. The works of him who was wonderful in working. And this word is used in John 5, verse 20. It says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. And then the same chapter, verse 36, says, but I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness to me that the Father has sent me. So miracles consist of signs, wonders, mighty works, and works. Amen. And the ancient writers appealed to them as proof that the men that did them were messengers of God. And Jesus appealed to miracles as conclusive proof of his divine mission here on earth. Miracles are something that are out of the course of nature, and they are beyond the power of man. And they come into our world to convey the presence and power of God. Amen. In Acts chapter 6, Stephen wasn't even an apostle, but it says that he was a table server. He was appointed by the apostles to serve the widows, and he went about his daily business, amen, every day. And what do you think that he was asking people? He was saying, how can I serve you? 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 That's what he did every day. And the Bible says, amen, that God used him to do mighty signs and wonders among the people. So yes, serving, amen, is the prerequisite for being used in the miraculous. Amen. But faith is another prerequisite for the miraculous. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, he prophesied to King Ahab that there would be no rain or dew until he declared it. Amen. And the Bible lets us know that there wasn't for 3.5 years. Amen. That's faith. And during this time, Elijah retreated, it says, to the brook Cherith, not a river, but a brook. And it says here he was fed daily by raven's meat, and he had to fetch his own water. Amen. That's faith. It says his next refuge was Zarephath, where he met a woman who was down to her last meal, not his last meal, but her last meal, and he asked her for it. Amen. That's faith. Amen. And then it says that the widow woman's son died shortly afterward, and Elijah asked for the boy. It says that he prayed for him, and he breathed upon him, amen, faith, and the miraculous took place, and it says that the boy lived. Amen. And it's in this portion of Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 through 24. You can read this in your devotions this week. Amen. That Elijah, it says, is first called a man of God. Amen. And I find that interesting that this great prophet wasn't called a man of God until the miraculous began taking place in his ministry. So not only as a pastor, and I'm a pastor and a missionary, amen, amen, but not only as a pastor, but also, amen, as a Spirit-filled saint, you need the miraculous operating in and through your life to truly be called a man and a woman of God, amen? You can give me a hand clap if you believe that, amen? Then the Bible tells us that Elijah then went to Mount Carmel and says he faced 450 prophets of Baal, and another 400 prophets of Asherah. That's 1 Kings 18, verse 19 through 40. Again, you can read it this week. So almost 1,000 standing in opposition against him. Amen. That's faith. Amen. And the whole contest was about who the one true God was. And Elijah says, let those prophets rant and rave and worship and yell and scream and cut themselves and everything else, amen, all day long. And it says even toward the end of the day, it says that he even ridiculed them, saying, you know what, your God, he must be asleep. Or maybe he's on vacation somewhere, amen? I mean, the man had faith, amen? And it says, when the prophets of Baal had worn themselves completely out, and Elijah had finally had enough, it says that he stepped up to the altar and he told them to wet it down. Amen. And then he told them to wet it down again. And then the Word of God tells us that he told them to wet it down a third time again. I mean, he had faith. Amen. Because you know what? He knew that the prophets of Baal used cheap little parlor tricks, amen, to fool the people and to keep them in fear and in worship of their God. And he wanted everybody, including the prophets of Baal and the Asheroth, to know without a shadow of doubt who the one true God was. And then it says that he prayed a simple prayer, and it says that the fire fell from heaven, amen, and consumed the sacrifice that was on the altar, and everyone fell to their knees, amen. The miraculous took place. And I like this because, you know what, the reason why I did that is because, you know what, Elijah, he ordered those false prophets, amen, to be killed afterward. You want to know why? Because you can't entertain idols and false gods and deception in your life and expect to walk in the miraculous at the same time. It'll never work, amen? But Elijah wasn't done yet, amen? It says, then he exercised faith some more, and he prophesied that the 3.5-year drought was about to end. Amen. And it says that he sent his servant 7 times, amen, to see if rain was coming. Amen. And that literally means that he never gave up, amen, until he received a confirmation that the word that he spoke was coming to pass. Amen. It says that the 7th time that his servant saw a cloud that was the size of a man's hand. Amen. You know, I've served in the military. I was in the Air Force for about 4 years a few years ago during search and rescue over there in the Middle East for the no-fly zone. And I can tell you that the sun is always shining, and there's very rarely a cloud in the sky. If you didn't have sunglasses on, your retinas would burn out, literally, because it's so bright over there. But still to see a cloud, amen, even in that big blue sky that's the size of a man's hand, you would have to have excellent vision and eyesight to see that, amen? But finally, the Bible lets us know that on the 7th time that his servant spotted the cloud. Amen. And you know what? When Elijah received the news from his servant about the cloud, he wasn't waiting for a bigger cloud. He wasn't waiting for even an entire cloud formation to come together. But that little cloud was the only sign. It was the only sign that he needed to know that there was about to be a great storm. Amen. And I want to preach to you tonight that, you know what, if you start moving in faith with the little signs that Jesus is showing you on a daily basis, amen, you'll receive the same big miracle, amen, for the expectation that you have for big signs. Let me say that again to you. Amen. You have big expectation when you see big signs, amen. And this expectation, it positions you to receive a miracle. But that expectation is rare. It's occasionally here and it's occasionally there. Amen. But if you have the same big expectation, even in the little signs, the everyday signs, your life will be a daily experience of miracles. Amen. So quit waiting on the full formation of clouds before you experience, amen, your daily miracles. Amen. Quit waiting, amen, to wait for it to rain before you begin to do something, amen, and to lift up your faith. And when you see, amen, the cloud that is the size of a man's hand, amen, you need to boldly stand up and confidently stand up and say, I hear the abundance of rain. I hear the abundance of rain. Amen. You need to boldly, amen, and confidently declare it, amen, so that you can see it come to pass. I can tell you there's a lot of Sundays that I come to the pulpit, amen, in Belfast, and I'm not seeing exactly what I want to see, amen, but I start, amen, praying and start preaching, amen, to some dry, dead bones, amen, until I begin to see something happen. Sometimes I even get out there, and I'll grab somebody up like this, amen, and I'll just kind of do a little Holy Ghost jig with them like this, amen, just to get them moving a little bit. Sometimes they're kind of like this, and they're like, and they want to go back to seats. Other times they're like, okay, Pastor, it's all good, amen. But I'm moving in faith, amen, and I'm looking for any little thing, amen, because we don't have necessarily everyone running aisles right now, amen, like you'd see in the U.S., amen, but we're training them up, amen. We're showing them it's not just calisthenics for Jesus, amen, but it's worship unto God, amen. We're the only apostolic church, amen, that is in the north of Ireland, amen. And your pastor knows a little bit about the north of Ireland. Those pictures you saw on the video, amen, that was where you saw people, their hands up against a wall. That's the peace wall. That wall literally separates, amen, the Ulster Scott neighborhoods, which would be referred to maybe over here as the Protestant neighborhoods, from the Catholic neighborhoods or the Irish neighborhoods. It's not a religious war. It's a cultural racism war is what it is. Now, most of these folks don't even go to church, amen? So it's not between two religions. It's between two races, amen? And it's worse than the black-white racism deal that's been happening here the last few years, because it's been happening for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, amen? So it's inbred in them, and it's there. And so we take people there on a black taxi tour lot, educate them up. And they hear, they go on one side for a bit, and they hear the story very passionately from Ulster Scott, ex-paramilitary guys that are now black taxi cab drivers. And then they take them on the other half, and they take them to the Irish side of things, and they hear from ex-IRA paramilitary guys very passionately about what they believe for their side. Amen. And then we end up at the Peace Wall. That trip that Pastor McCoy was on that year, we lined up 18 black taxis. Amen. That had never happened. This company called Belfast Attractions, they never had nothing like that. They're like, whoa, people were going by and they're stopping. We had all those 99 AY Sears up there laying our hands on the wall. And man, we started praying some spiritual warfare prayer. Amen. And I saw all these cameras come out from those paramilitary, ex-paramilitary taxi drivers like this. They were videoing. And I was kind of like, Jesus. I'm like, Lord, just protect right here, okay? Amen. And I'm like, you got to use wisdom there. We have our new church plant in Belfast. Amen. Is in East Belfast. And East Belfast is an Ulster Scott area, but Cooney is a very Southern Irish last name. Amen. So the saints don't even call me Pastor Cooney. They call me Pastor Joe there so that we don't lose more than half of our audience. Some people I would never even be able to come up to and talk to them if they knew what my surname is. That's how strong the animosity is between the sides, and it's still going on. They're not throwing pipe bombs in people's houses still, but there are still military or paramilitary executions that take place every week. There are two or three people getting executed, shot in the knees or shot in the back of the head, execution style, in a city that has less than 1 million people in it. Amen. So when I tell you about standing up, and I'm not waiting for big signs, the Fletcher family, and I'm just feeling this in the Holy Ghost to share it. I'm watching time here that we're coming. Amen. They're coming from Eastgate. Eastgate is a big apostolic church down there in Vidor, Texas. And the Jeremy Fletcher, he visited the Sunday right before we were leaving Ireland. And I was just coming out of prayer in the sanctuary. He was coming in, and the Lord just went, and dropped a little something in my spirit to share with him. And I said, you know, Jeremy, I said, you're coming from a place to where wherever you push doors open like this, they open. A lot of doors open. I said, you're about to come into an environment where you're going to be going, and the doors that are opening are few and far between. And I just want to share that with you. I said, I'm not saying that negatively or without faith, because we got all kinds of faith or we wouldn't even be in Northern Ireland. But I'm telling you that so that you don't think it's you. It's just the ground that you're operating within. Amen. And you need to help us to plow this ground this year. Amen. Because we have people coming in there. They need healing emotionally, physically, things going on from the troubles, all these things over the years. Amen. So when I'm preaching to you this word, it's not just a word out of the Bible that sounds good tonight. I'm telling you, we don't get big signs over there. We get little signs. We get little clouds like this. Amen. And we move by faith and we operate by faith. And so when I see even a little sign, I'm not waiting. Okay, that's going to be a big sign maybe here. No, it's if you don't act on, respond on that little sign, it'll go and like a vapor, it'll be gone. Amen. So we have to hit it, and we have to hit it quick. Amen. And when we hit it quick, that's when I'm saying, I hear the abundance of rain. I hear the abundance of rain. And we're preaching, and we're teaching, and we're moving and praying for people, and we're seeing miraculous things happen. Right when we were leaving, the last Sunday that we were there, a lady named Jillian, she came in just on our last Belfast Pentecost conference this year. She's been coming to church with her mother. She was part of another Pentecostal work, Trinitarian work or something that was up in Bangor. It's about another 45 minutes from our church plant. But she likes what she feels, and she's been coming ever since. It's our last Sunday there. We're getting ready to pull out at the end of the service. Great move of God. And she came up and she said, you know, Pastor, I'm not even sure if I'm allowed to ask this. But she's like, my father, he needs prayer. He's kind of heading toward the Mormons thing, he in that direction. And he's like, he's not looking to come our way, but I'm wondering, that, you know, he's got to go to the doctor this Tuesday. And they said that they're going to cut off his knee from the top of the knee down. And is it okay if we pray for him? I said, absolutely, it's okay if we pray for him. And we'll pray for his salvation too. Amen. So I got my wife and a couple of the other ladies to come in and help me to pray with her. Her name's Jillian. We prayed for her father. And obviously she stood in his stead. And I'm happy to tell you, we found out later that week that her father went in for his appointment. And they said, we're not taking your leg off. He had some kind of gangrene infection going on. And they said, no, we you can keep your leg, amen? So we're rejoicing in that sign, amen? And we're still working on him and salvation to happen, but that's the sign that I'm talking about. Another sign, I've been working for 4.5 years on charity status, amen, for our church in the north. And this will make everything relevant. I'll share this to you. I was looking at a building, man. I mean, I got faith. It was like 200,000+ British sterling pounds, right smack dab in the middle of Belfast. Now, that's a mountain in itself, amen, to try to tackle. Because British sterling pounds, that means a whole lot more in American dollars, okay? And that's why we're doing a building fund right now, just to remind you guys. The Holy Ghost is talking to you tonight, amen? But what had happened is I found out, because it was in the middle of Belfast, that the taxes yearly for a building like that were going to be 75,000 pounds. That's without charity status. So I'm like, man, we need to get charity status. And so I started working on it from that time. And, I'm going back and forth. My wife's dealing with immigration. Same thing right now, going back and forth about some things right now because she's French here in the U.S. But we're going back and forth, paperwork, trying to articulate it exactly how they need it. I went back and forth. I was so worn out with it, Pastor McCoy, with this paperwork. And it got time for us leaving. We're trying to get everything in order for the Fletchers, you know, to come in so they don't have to do anything but just kind of hand in glove and operate and do some soul winning. And I finally called up Charity Commission. I said, look, they sent back another thing to me to fill out. And I'm like, I'm worn out. I'm like, I'll have to pick this back up when I come back after deputation. The lady said, you can't do that. We can't postpone that anymore. She's just like, you need to do this now. I said, I'm leaving country. I don't know what to tell you. I'm like, we'd like charity status, but I'm just at the point right now wondering, do we even need it? You know, I was so worn out. And she said, well, if you submit it like that, there's no promise that it's going to go through or anything. And I said, you know what? It has to go the way that it is. And we submitted it. And the very week that we touched down, at the end of the first week in Columbus, Ohio, my hometown, I got an email out of the blue. And it said, you've been approved for charity status for our church. 4.5 years. 4.5 years. You can have a degree at the university during that time. You understand that? That's how long I've been working on that. And I just forwarded it to my wife with a big wow on there. But I'm telling you, when you got faith in the miraculous, I'm not just talking about blind eyes opening and deaf ears unstopped and lame walking. I'm talking about that too. But I'm talking about everything in between, the daily miracles that God wants to give to you and give to me. Amen. He wants you to begin to respond to that and walk on it and to recognize. Amen. That's why we fast. We fast, you know why? Not just so we can be spiritual powerhouses, but so that we can be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Amen. So that we can see the signs when God goes, whew. And I'll share this with you because I'm a soul winner. I love winning souls. I know your pastor is too. Everything he just shared in those announcements was all about that we do all that for souls. That's the reason why we do it. Amen. But, you know, for souls, I'm trying to get my thought about what I was about to say. You know, when it comes to souls, I'm just reaching for people. I'm believing that God, amen, is going to help us to reach people And to take the blinders off, amen, of their eyes so that we can reach them in not only Northern Ireland but Southern Ireland, north, south, east, and west. I've said this to folks before. I'm like, we evangelize Ireland. Ireland's about the size, landmass of the state of Illinois. 7 million people. I think Illinois has more people than that in it, actually. And I told them, I said, you know what? We evangelize it, Ireland, and if God wants to go and put us in another country to do the same thing, we're open to that. Now, I feel called to Ireland. Don't get me wrong, okay? But I'm just saying we're open to that. I married a French wife. I knew it was going to be bigger than Ireland when I married a French wife, amen? But I'm just saying that's missionaries. That's what missionaries do. Missionaries ain't trying to be bishops and ain't trying to be this and that and position. No, we're church planters. We're evangelizing countries, EME, Europe, Middle East. There's a lot of things going on in the Middle East right now, having just tremendous revival all over Europe, tremendous revival. Amen. That's taking place. I want you to stand right now. Amen. I don't know where you're at tonight as far as what you have need of in your life. But I can tell you, we've seen a lot of miracles. Amen. The Holy Ghost, that we rejoice in that, but that's just scratching the surface right now. We expect to see more. We're declaring things just like we were doing when we prayed at the beginning. We're out of country, but we're praying. We're speaking into that country even right now. Youth. Amen. We want to see revival. We want to see Holy Ghost outpouring for our youth and others added on to it. We want to see more churches planted, more churches to be risen up. Amen. Young people serving in the harvest. Amen. Whether it's here at home or whether it's somewhere else or abroad. Amen. But to be in the perfect will of God, there's nothing like it. I can tell you, I'm nothing special. I'm nothing extraordinary. Amen. I'm just an ordinary person. Amen. But I'm in the will of God. And when you make yourself available for God, I'm telling you, He'll start using you in the miraculous. We have seen thousands upon thousands upon thousands filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost over the last 16 years. Amen. We've seen miracle after miracle after miracle, not because we're something, amen, or not for a name to be known, by absolutely no means, but just because we're walking in the will of God. And recognizing the daily miracles. All those miracles ain't taking place in a church setting or in an altar. They take place right out on the street, right out. Sometimes we've run into people we've been praying for and witnessing to during deputation, left and right. God just keeps preparing those appointments. And this is what I was going to say when I was talking about soul winning. I get my thought back here. Amen. God, when He prepares people for you to come across your path, amen, if you dismiss that, amen, I'm just bringing this to your attention. So, you know, you got to stop and think, how long has God been preparing that soul? It could have been days, months, even years. And he trusts you enough to bring that soul across your path. And when you just dismiss it, I'm too busy. I got too much. I got to go. I got to hurry up. Amen. I'll tell you what happens. And this isn't to condemn anybody. By no means. It's just to bring this consciousness back to you. Amen. He'll quit providing those divine appointments for you then. Amen. But if you're sensitive to it, amen, and God does it, and then you respond, and you're like, because I can tell you, soul winning is never convenient to win souls. It's just never, never convenient. Amen. Then He'll keep creating divine appointments again, and they'll get greater and get greater and get greater. Amen. It's an awesome thing. And you'll just start walking in daily miracles every day. It ain't going to be a church miracle. That's nice. But God, amen, He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's working with you when you're on your job, when you're at school. He's working with you 24/7 all the time. And when we can walk in there, just like the prophet Elisha, you know, wherever he found himself, he's back on the backside of nowhere in a brook. But you know what? He's experiencing the miraculous every day as he's drinking. God's bringing ravens and bringing meat to him. Amen. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how barren that you might feel. Amen. Or where you may feel just on the backside of nowhere, God can still do a miracle in that place. So I want you to have faith in the miraculous. Amen. I want you, if you can grab somebody's hand, amen, right now, and just come up to this altar. And we're just going to pray for a couple minutes. I know we're right at time right now. Your pastor's already briefed me on time, and I want to be very respectful for your time tonight. But I want to pray a prayer. We're not just here to receive something from you as missionaries. We want to preach something into the spirit of this church that's already a great church, already an evangelistic church. Amen. We can see, just looking out, all the different ages here, from young to old. Amen. It's vibrant. Amen. And it's here. Amen. Well, we want to pray for faith in the miraculous for every individual here that when you leave from this place, you got these revivals, different things that are coming up. That's great to come and bring people out to the house of God, and the church needs to grow. Absolutely. That's the absolute fact that needs to happen. But I want you to be equipped when you go out there to where the miracles are happening out there. Because when they start happening out there, man, church is going to be like, well, hey, where are we going to eat after church? And it won't be just an excitement of getting something to eat. It'll be like, yeah, who are we going to witness to when we get there? That's the faith in the miraculous that I'm talking about. Every aspect that you're doing, everything. I want you to close your eyes and lift up your hands right now. Come on, you make this personal. Come on, open your mouth. Begin to make declarations right now, just like the prophet Elisha. Say, I hear the abundance of rain. Those different areas of your life right now. Yes, 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 God. I see it, God. Yes, God. I see churches in every city and town in Ireland and throughout Europe and beyond, God. See a harvest of laborers, Jesus. Yes, God, use your people in the miraculous, God, tonight, Jesus. Impart that spirit into, God, their lives, Jesus. I pray, God, right now in your name for faith in the miraculous. People present their needs to them, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that they wouldn't just say, I'll pray for you, but God, that they'd pray for them right then and there. Lord, we release your miracle-working power, God, through the lives, Jesus, of every individual, young and old and in between in this place tonight, God. Lord, I pray for those that need healings in their body right now. We release your miracle-working power, God, in their bodies right now. Touch their bodies, Jesus, right now. Bring wholeness, completeness, God, strength, Lord Jesus. God, touch their minds right now, Lord Jesus. Any tension and stress, God. Lord Jesus, God, bring your, Lord, just release your miracle-working power, God, Lord, within their minds and in their spirit tonight, God. Let there be a loosing, God, that takes place, God. That thing that you've already begun, God, let it to be completed, God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in the mighty power and mighty works of Jesus' name, we release it, God. Lord Jesus, we release, God, your faith, God, for miracles, Jesus, tonight, God. Heal those with cancer tonight, God. Heal those suffering, Lord Jesus, in any way, in Jesus' name, God. Lord, create, God, these divine opportunities, Lord Jesus, we pray, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Come on. Make some declarations right now. If you got lost family, lost loved ones, I want you to begin to make some declarations right now. Come on. Begin to tell the Lord, say, I hear the abundance of rain in my family. I hear the abundance of rain in my family, God. God, I hear the abundance of rain at my workplace, God. At my school, God, I hear the abundance of rain, Jesus. God, I hear it. I hear it, God. Let it begin with faith, God. Lord Jesus, God, with one person. And let it multiply, Almighty God, to many, Lord Jesus. God, let your miracle-working power, God, to flow through me, Jesus, in your mighty and in your holy name, God. Yes, God.
Yes, God. Let there just be a great awakening, God, in my spirit, in my soul, Almighty God, for, Lord, the things of you. Lord, you said greater works, God, would I do than Lord Jesus, even what you've done, God. I know that you're about to return, Jesus, for your church, Almighty God. Let me to be busy in the harvest, Almighty God. Lord Jesus, reaping, God, souls, sowing and reaping, God, on your behalf, God. Lord, that your miracle-working power be released in and through me, God. I believe it, God, Lord, and I receive it, God. And the same that I've received, I release, God, into the lives of others, God, in your name, God. I've got faith for the miraculous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got faith for a building in Belfast, Northern Ireland. You know why? Not just for the sake of a building, but because there's a need that's there. I've got faith, amen, in the Belfast Pentecost Conference, not just to put on a conference. Good Lord, we don't need another conference. We don't need another church in Belfast, man. There's hundreds of them. Amen. We need a spirit-filled, power-filled church. We don't need wishy-washy just church saints, because you know what? There's thousands of them by the droves. We need apostolic, fervent people, worshipers that are on fire for God, amen, and that are multiplying, amen, the ministry of Jesus everywhere that they go. You know when Jesus said, you're going to do greater works than me? He was saying because he was in one location at that time. God manifested in flesh, amen. But he was about to send out this multiplied number of apostles and disciples. And he's like, greater works are you going to do than me? Because everywhere you go, the miraculous is going to flow. Amen. We want to pray just before we're dismissed. Anyone that needs prayer for healing in their body, amen. I know you've already prayed, but we want to pray. Amen. If you have faith, I want you to just come up here in the front here. We're going to pray for you. And if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we want to just pray for you very quickly, and then we're going to turn it over to your pastor right now. Amen. Everyone's got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. That's fantastic. Amen. We'll pray for these individuals right now. I don't know if I can have some of the ministers that are here, if you can help me to pray for these individuals. Right now, we want to pray for their miracle healing that's going to take place in their bodies. We're going to declare it. Amen. And we're going to pray that God would do it in their bodies. Amen. Right now. Amen. Just come on right in here, ministers. You can help me to pray. My missionary friend that's not retired, amen, ever, for ministry, amen. Let's just pray right now. I want you to lift up your hands to the front right here, right now. I want you to exercise, amen, what you've just partaken in for faith in the miraculous, and we want to pray for these individuals. Let's just pray right now. God would take. Yes, God, we declare it. We declare by faith, God, in the miraculous right now in Jesus' name. God, do the work that only you can do, God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God. Yes, that's it. Just lift up your voice. Come on, one last time. Lift up your voice. We bless that wonderful name of Jesus. God, we bless the wonderful name of Jesus tonight, God. And thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you're beginning to do, what you're completing, God. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. I'm going to hand this back to your pastor. If you can help us out tonight, we greatly appreciate it. Amen. Thank you so much for having us.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you looking for miracles every day? Amen. Every day when we get up, let's ask the Lord, God, just direct me, put me in the right place, the right time. Lord, give us favor. And then when the little miracles happen, rejoice. Rejoice. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Let's be praying for the Coonies. Let's be praying for the work in Ireland. Make sure and visit them at their booth out in the foyer. Amen. Come back this weekend. Let's be expecting God to do something great this weekend. Amen. God bless you tonight.